We've been reminded this morning about our missions ministry, men and women serving God, taking the gospel to the world. We also ordained our church officers. And as a congregation, one of the commitments we made was to pray for those who lead us. So whether it's a missionary, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a church officer, Paul made very clear to both Timothy and Titus, the young pastors to whom he wrote letters, that a leader, a Christian minister, must be above reproach, which literally means without handles, which being interpreted means difficult to accuse. Lives that are so exemplary that if somebody brings an accusation against a church officer, someone who has come out publicly and said, I now want to represent what it means to be Christian. I want people to look at my life and be able to model what it means to walk with Christ. Or a person who goes off to a place in the world and says, I am here to share the gospel of Christ with you. And I want to embody and represent what it means to walk with God, to follow Jesus Christ. That's a heady statement. It's an awesome responsibility. It's also a scary one. Because we believe the enemy, Satan, puts people who have made that public statement that I represent Jesus Christ and His kingdom on earth, to attack one of these, to have one of these men or women fail, is a great victory. So the prayer that we agreed to this morning, to pray for these leaders and to pray for our staff, and to pray for one another, is a commitment I pray that we will take very seriously. We've been talking about the greatest prayer, the Lord's Prayer, for the past few weeks. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think it's timely that in our progression through this prayer over the past few Sundays, that the part of the prayer we're looking at this morning is this one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I hate to pick out a most important part of the prayer, but certainly this would qualify as a crucial part of the prayer, because this is where we live every single day. The tendency, the pull toward evil. This word, lead us not into temptation. I'm not pulling Greek on you. I don't do this except in rare circumstances. But this prayer is dependent on our proper understanding of this word, pyrosmos. This is the accusative form, pyrosmon. But regardless, it's an interesting word in Greek. It has two meanings. It's sort of like our English word trunk. The word trunk can mean the front end of an elephant or the back end of a car. And if I ask you to put this object in the trunk, and I mean the back end of my car, and you try to stuff it up the front end of an elephant, you are in some kind of deep trouble. So how do you know the difference? Am I talking about the back end of the car? Am I talking about the front end of an elephant? Or am I talking about that big box in the attic that smells like mothballs? And this word, pyrosmos, has the same texture, the same differences in meaning. It can mean two very specific things. And what did Jesus mean exactly and precisely when he said, "Lead us not into temptation"? Well, there's a bit of a problem with that prayer if we think it means temptation only. Because James tells us, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." So, if God does not tempt us, why would we ask God to not lead us into temptation? And everybody is saying, did you just dig a hole for yourself that you can't climb out of? No. Stay with me. This is a crucial point. What James is saying, and James chapter 1, by the way, takes this word pyrazo or pyrosmos and he develops it because it is one of the most important themes in the Bible. It's one of the most important themes in the Bible because it's where you and I live all day, every day. It's how we make the choices that drive the course of our life. And James used this word, count it all joy, he said, James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials. Pyrosmois, trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So what James is telling us there is that God uses the trials, the pressures of our life to help us grow into better people. They test our faith. Now, sometimes those trials are things like we've been seeing the past few weeks with hurricanes and earthquakes and famines and drought and these kinds of things, where the test of our faith is, does God really love us? Is God really in control of His universe, or even is there a God? And we have to go back and review, as I have and as many of you have, over the past few weeks, saying, how could a loving, all-powerful God allow some of these things to go on in the world? And as we review and struggle and wrestle back through those questions, I always come out on the other end with a more confirmed faith because I've put it to the test and I've asked those questions and struggled through those questions and my faith is strengthened. And James is saying that's the process of pyrosmos as a trial. It's something God uses to develop you, to have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And he ends that first portion, of James does, of chapter 1, with this word, James 1:12, the end of this first paragraph in the book of James. Blessed is the one who perseveres under pyrosmos, under pressure. Because having stood the test, that person will receive a crowning quality of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Well, where did God promise that quality of life if we respond well to trials? Well, verse 4. Let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see, faith and goodness and being developed as a person is sort of like developing a muscle. I go to the gym and I lift a weight, and the more I lift that weight, the more this muscle strengthens and grows and becomes more productive. And James says it's when your faith is exercised that it grows, that it becomes stronger. So one of the uses of this word that Matthew used, or that Jesus used to talk about, lead us not into temptation, can mean this kind of an experience. A trial, a pressure. But you notice also that James said, trials of many kinds, various kinds of trials. So while James is talking about these cataclysmic events in life that challenge our belief in God or our belief in God's love, there are many, many trials, kairos moi that test us in a different way. It's a trial when I hear a juicy piece of gossip. And I'm not sure it's true, but I don't particularly like that person, and it would really be fun to call somebody else who feels not so good about that and share this piece of gossip. Or somebody asks me a question, and if I spin the truth just a little bit, I come out looking wonderful. But if I tell the truth, it reveals that I'm really not all that wonderful. Or I hear about my neighbor who is kind of cranky, but he's not doing well. And I read the scriptures that say I should minister, I should do unto others as I would have others do unto me. And so I feel a bit of a sense I should go and pray with that person. Maybe talk to them about the Lord. Maybe I could tell them about Jesus' love for them and they would become a Christian. That's the faith move. That's the faith move, like telling the truth instead of spinning reality. And how many times a day are we confronted with those little things that make up life? And while huge events like losing a child or cancer or some these cataclysmic events are enormous life-changing events, for most of us, life really is made up not of the cataclysmic events, but it's produced by the day-to-day hundreds of decisions that I make every day. So James says one option is to live by faith, to make decisions by faith. To say, I know what I feel like doing, but I also know what my faith tells me I ought to do. So I'm at a moment of choice. Is it faith or feeling that drives this decision? And James tells it in verse 13. Now remember, I went to seminary and I have some education, so I can share this with you. Verse 13 in James 1 immediately follows James 1:12. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Okay, so make the connection. It's just said, blessed is the person who perseveres under trial. For once he has been tried, once he has been proved, he will receive a crowning quality of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. But let no one say, verse 13, let no one say, when being tempted, when being tried, well, facing a pyros mas, that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and neither does he himself tempt anyone. God is not in the business of tempting you. He is in the business of testing you. But when that test, by my choice, goes from a faith response to a feeling response, I've gone from what we call a trial to what we call a temptation. You remember Geraldine? Flip Wilson's Geraldine. The devil made me do it. Sorry, Geraldine, the devil didn't make you do it. And the scriptures tell us God didn't make you do it. So where does temptation come from? If God cannot be tempted by evil and he himself tempts no one, where does it come from? James tells us each person is tempted, and it's the same word, pyrazatai, pyrosmos, in the passive form. No one, but each person is tempted when drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. The story of Adam and Eve in the garden. They had a test that allowed them to prove to themselves and to God that they were obedient, that they used their choice wisely, and they followed God. But the tempter came and said to Eve, did God really say? Did you see how beautiful that fruit is? Did God tell you that if you eat it, it will make you wise like Him? Do you realize He's holding something back from you? Eve saw that it was good, that it was good to make one wise, and she ate. The devil created the circumstances, but she made the choice. Satan set it up, but Adam made the choice. And I am frequently, regularly, every day, faced with pyrosmos, pressures. And I have to make a choice. Hundreds of times. So what's Jesus saying when he said, lead us not into temptation? Well, he's saying there's every day, as you live your life, you are confronted with pressures. It's part of life. It's inescapable. These pyrosmon can be seen as a trial which God uses to develop us. That same pressure, that same stimulus is called a pyrosmon. It becomes a temptation used by Satan to destroy us. Over and over again, every day. And James goes on in James 1, 16 through 27 to give us instruction for how to choose well. Now, I believe it's in the month of November. We're going to be spending 4 weeks studying James chapter 1. We'll go into this in much greater detail in our adult class. But for this morning, what James is telling us is that pressures come into our life that lead us to a choice. One choice leads to life. One choice leads to death. It's a difference of, do I make the choice based on my faith system, on what I claim to believe as a Christian, what I claim to believe is stated in the Bible about how I relate to life? Or am I far more driven by my feelings, my passions, and I do what I feel like doing instead of what I know I should be doing? Just a hint about what James did with the rest of James chapter 1 is he said, be doers of God's word and not hearers only. Cultivate a habit. The first question I ask when confronted by a pyrosmos is, what would God have me do? What's the faith response? It's a habit we cultivate. And even though we cultivate it, some of us still fail, and that's why we need to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see how absolutely crucial this prayer is. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that no pyrosmos has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Every day, day after day, these pressures. And God is faithful. He will not let you be pyrodzoed or tested or pushed beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. We are not victims of Satan. We are not victims of our own passions. By prayer, and by study of God's Word, and by spiritual health and spiritual growth, we make the faith response more frequently and the feeling response less frequently. So Jesus said, lead us not into those pressures that are so great we cannot deal with them. But deliver us from the evil that results when we choose to apeirosmos with feelings rather than faith. And here's the promise. God helps. You will never face anything that is uncommon and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can endure, even though it may seem like that's the case. But he will, with that test, when it becomes a temptation, by your choice or mine, he will give us a way to escape so that we can endure it.